Hello all, and welcome to the third and final episode of the How to Lie with Statistics podcast. I'm Lloyd Williams,
Clarissa Hudson,
and Simone McCullum.
And we're here to talk about how to lie with statistics. So we're going to start by talking about something called a semi-attached figure. What is a semi-attached figure, you may ask? It's a figure that's related to a topic, but with information missing, that means that the relationship that people may draw isn't completely accurate.
Thank you, Lloyd, for that. We're going to talk about post hoc mean. I hope I'm saying that right. Basically, post hoc means, I'll give you an example and let you figure it out yourself. So the example in the book was that if you attend college, then if you attend a four-year college or university as opposed to doing anything else 4 years of your life, then you'll be making more money. And they call this a post hoc because you can't really, like,
you can't really make that
assumption between the two, you know, things. Like, there are things that can happen in 4 years to make someone a lot more richer than, you know, someone who actually attended college or a university. And you also have to take into account, like, did that person take out loans? Do they have to pay back? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's all depending on... Yeah.
And then they also brought up how if a person goes to college already rich, then they're obviously going to have more money compared to somebody else if they don't go to college at all or if they do go to college. So if you're, like, they brought up, what is it, the rich raise the rich or something
the
like
rich
that.
Or the bright.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then another example of a post hoc is when they talked about people having lice. And so they were saying just because people seem to be in good health when they have lice, everyone came up with the assumption that you have to get lice in order to stay healthy and that by having lice, you would live longer and have a better, healthier life. But you can't assume that by having lice, that's better for you because they do make you sick.
Yeah.
And that's really the problem with the post hoc fallacy. You can't draw conclusions only from the few data points that you look at. That's why when you do experiments, you come up with a hypothesis that you're trying to prove beforehand. When you just look at things afterwards, there are things that you can miss that you weren't accounting for.
I wanted to take a second to talk about where in the book they say who says so when I was coming to, you know, conclusion reading the book. And basically, their advice is to kind of look beyond the name because they said that, you know, laboratory names are okay, university names are okay, anything within the medical profession is okay. Like if you hear doctor such and such says this, like you'll be more likely to believe it. But they also suggest that you don't really pay attention to the name because I'll read an example. He says, the writer who proved a few chapters back that higher education jeopardizes a girl's chance to marry made Mary made good use of the okay name of Cornell. Please note that while the data came from Cornell, the conclusions were entirely the writer's own, but the okay name helps you carry away a misimpression of Cornell University says dot, dot, dot. When an okay name is cited, make sure that the author stands behind the information, not merely somewhere alongside of it. So that makes a lot of sense. It's like, okay, just because someone goes to Cornell, they can draw their own conclusion and we'll still be gullible to say, oh, Cornell says this, when it's not actually Cornell. It's actually, you know, just someone who probably goes to Cornell and is, you know, really opposed to whatever they're trying to prove. Well, not prove.
And it was really interesting because the study that was done by at Cornell University was actually incorrect because they were saying people who go to college, men are less likely to stay a bachelor if they go to college, whereas women are more likely to become an old maid if they go to college, and that really wasn't like right, and it was really incorrect, and it made a lot of women question whether or not they even wanted to go to college because they didn't want to be stuck and become an old maid once they graduated, because that's kind of a waste of your life, just be a maid and not be able to get married and have kids and like enjoy your life. So it really goes to show that you can't just, like, that can make somebody not like Cornell, or that can make someone who's for women being maids really like enjoy Cornell. So
right, and I'd just like to point out that it's not, strictly speaking, that it was incorrect. It's just that the conclusions they drew from it were completely wrong. Because it's not that going to college makes it so that you won't get married. It's that the people who went to college at that time were just people who were generally less likely to get married.
Where are the pictures?
On my phone.
Can you email them to yourself and then access them to somebody else's?
So another issue with the way that data is represented sometime is shown in an example in the book, The Darkening Shadow. In the example, they're trying to show how much the government takes for taxes by comparing it to the annual income of certain states. So in the first picture, most of the western coast of the United States is shaded in because the government takes more than the entire income of those states. And it makes it look like a huge amount because they have those states have a lot of mass. But what you don't take into consideration when you look at this map is that those states also have a much lower population density than states like New York or Pennsylvania. So when you look at a similar graph that instead shades in places on the East Coast, it's only about four or five states that are actually shaded in because they have a lot more people, so they have a lot more income.
That really also goes to show how people can tweak graphs, like we used to say in our earlier podcast, to make it look good or to make it more appealing or to get people to buy into what they're thinking or to think that their conclusions are, in fact, correct.
While reading this book, we've all taken away different parts that I guess mean something different to each of us. I guess I'll start. I like the what's missing piece of the book, only because I felt like in these last couple chapters, he really started making sense to me. Like, he really started breaking things down. And what he said was, one study shows that in 2,800 cases, over half of the mothers were 35 or over. And he says, getting any meaning from this depends upon you knowing something about the ages at which women in general produce babies. Few of us know things like this. And I agree, because I also don't really know what I would take away from this besides the fact that, you know, a lot of people who had babies were 35 or over, but, like, what does that mean? So that's how next time I know when I'm looking at a situation or an event, I'll look for what's missing and what I'm being told so I can figure out how I can draw a better conclusion with, I guess, knowing what's absent and knowing what's present.
I guess for me personally, I really, this book helped me open my eyes to, like, just look at the, I guess, statistics and things that I see all around differently. And at bottom line, what he says is that, like, does it make sense? Like, when you really have to go look at something and look, like, go deeper into what it's saying and what it's showing you to see, does it really make sense? Is it really something that you think could be possible in the world? Or is it just them making it up so that it could look good in people's eyes to just glance at it without asking any questions? So for me, like, that was just a big takeaway. And, he was really, like, real about it. Like, he wasn't trying to be sweet or sugarcoat anything. He was like, people lie with statistics. It happens every day, everywhere. There's nothing you can really do about it. And there's no real way of having something be 100% true, because there's always going to be somewhere in the world where it's not actually correct or it's not actually 100% going to work out that way.
Right. And I think that's really what I took away most from this book, is that, you know, you can do pretty much whatever you want, but no matter what, if someone wants to trick you with their graph or their data points or whatever, they're going to be able to. So you can't just look at whatever statistics they give to you. You have to go and find the data yourself and pick it apart and draw your own conclusions. And I mean, of course, then you can compare it to their conclusions, but you can't just take anything that they say at face value, because, I mean, they can hide it.
So
we're gonna end off this final podcast with one of the quotes from the front of the book that we haven't done yet. Artemis Ward says, "It ain't so much the things we don't know that get us in trouble. It's the things we know that ain't so." And I think that really, that personifies what this book is about.
Yeah. And so signing off for the final and last time, Clarissa Hudson,
Lloyd Williams,
and Simone McCullough.
Thank you.